mine enemies. That's kind of a subject that not very many people like their enemies. It takes the love of God to love your enemies, doesn't it? But today we want to talk about who are enemies. That mine enemies is taken from Psalms 27 and 2, but we'll read 1 and 2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know, many times the Lord has inspired me over and over and over again with Psalms 27 in various ways. And as I was reading and meditating on this, the Lord helped me to see that, you know, David, this is a Psalm of David. He had confidence in God that he didn't have to be afraid. He said, whom shall I fear? He didn't have to be afraid of his enemies. And he said, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. And that doesn't mean a literal eat up your flesh. That means destroy you. They stumbled and fell. If we have our confidence in God, if we live for God, this is what happened to our enemies. But a lot of times we look at certain people as our enemies. But our enemies, the real enemy of our soul is the devil. And he likes to transform himself, or he likes to present himself in the form of people. Maybe you say, my neighbor is my enemy. But in reality, it's not the neighbor. It is the Satan himself.
Amen.
He uses people. He works through people. But he is the ultimate enemy. And so he transforms himself in so many ways till sometimes we don't realize this. The true enemy, it's not that person that cut me off in the road and caused me the problem, you know, but it's the devil, because the devil wants to destroy. He wants to destroy the person, and us as well. So who is my enemy? Let's think about how the enemy transforms himself. That way we can recognize him when he comes, you know, to eat up our flesh, so to speak. When I think about my enemy, I think about that he is personal. We can take it personal. My enemy, your enemy, the enemy of different people. Let's go to Nahum 2 and 1. So we see that the enemy, the devil, wants to destroy us. He wants to prevent us from going to heaven. And he wants to, he fights directly against God. He presents his case to get us to not do what God wants us to do. so we could end up in hell with him, because that's where he's going. The devil himself is going to go to hell. He's going to burn forever in hell, the devil and his angel. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels, but he's trying to get as many other people as he can to go there.
Nahum 2:1, he that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily.
He that dashes in pieces, that's the devil. That's his purpose, to dash in pieces, to destroy. Let's go to Job 2:1.
Mm-hmm. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord.
Keep going.
And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.
Okay, so you see where the devil is? He's busy, isn't he? Walking to and fro the earth, walking up and down, and trying to figure out a way to destroy somebody. And if we read this account and we, read on a little bit more.
And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou moveth me against him to destroy him without cause.
See, in other words, he had told him first, he had asked him before, who have you considered my servant Job, that he's an upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil? And he said, does he serve you for naught? You know, like that, because, you know, he's has all these things. Job was a rich man. He had lots of things. Everything was going good for him. But the devil tried to discourage, tried to get to Job. And if we read the whole account, we see that the Lord told him, okay, I don't remember the exact words, but other words, you can have his things, but don't touch his life. Don't touch him. Well, he took everything within a moment's time. Just one thing right after another. He lost all of his riches. He lost all his children. All of these things did Job lose because the devil was trying to destroy him. He wanted to prove that Job is, if you take all this away from him, he'll curse you to your face. And that's where in the second chapter, he's saying that he's still an upright man, because he didn't. When all of that was taken away from him, he had seven children. Possessions and all his children. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he did not curse God to his face. So you see, this is how the devil works. He's trying to destroy us. At that time, if you look and read all of that account of Job, he had that so camouflaged to Job, it looked like fire from heaven, the wind would blow. It looked like God did it. He was trying his best to destroy his confidence in God, but he did. And he can't. If we hold our integrity with God, if we are steadfast in our faith and trust in God, he can't do it. Let's go to John 10 and 10. It says, the thief cometh, but to steal, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. This is what the devil is. He's there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, we want to think about the different ways the devil disguises himself. Who is my enemy? Is it my neighbor? Is it my child? Is it my somebody kin to me that don't seem to like me and don't seem to get along with me? Is that the true enemy? No. Yet, we can call him our enemy, but in reality, it's the Satan working to destroy us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11 and read verses 13 and 14.
2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
For such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
You see?
Go on. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Yeah. Sometimes he just transformed himself to an angel of light and make people think that he does it to deceive people. He makes them think, you know, this is the right way. Yet it's contrary to the scriptures. But he can be like false prophets and so forth, just trying to deceive people. He disguises himself. Let's go to Revelations 12 and 9.
Revelations 12 and 9. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Yes. So see how he does? He's deceiving the whole world in various forms. We have to be able to recognize the enemy for what he is. And how we can do that is to understand the Word of God. And when we see something contrary to the Word of God, we know that it is Satan being disguised. Now, you know, this happened in the very beginning. We could go to Genesis 3 and 1. And we can see how the devil disguised himself as a serpent, as a snake. And you know, it would seem to me that Eve would have kind of caught on a little bit of a snake talking to her, you know? But she didn't. He fooled her. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, mind you, serpent. But who was talking to the serpent? The devil. God, he says, and he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree was in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What has he done? He has defied what God said. God said, you'll die. The serpent said, you shall not surely die. Now he's trying to transform himself as an angel of light, trying to fool Eve that if you just eat of this fruit, you're not really going to die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He played on pride. He used pride to get to her. You'll be as gods. In other words, you're going to be in an elevated place. You're going to have the knowledge that God has. But he was deceiving her. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, tricked me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. But what happened is the enemy, putting himself in the form of the serpent, tricked her, and she ate. She disobeyed. He defied God. And this is what the enemy's design is to do, is to defy God and to get people to not do what God tells them. And he'll fool you in all kinds of ways. But it's not, don't look at the form he's in. Look at what it is, the devil himself. 1 Timothy 2 and 14, 15. Somebody read that, please.
1 Timothy 2, 14 and 15. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
The Lord had mercy upon them. He could have destroyed both of them for disobeying, but his mercy extended to them. So we see in this scripture that she was deceived. The serpent deceived her. So when we look at our enemies, let's take our eyes off the person and put our eyes on the very spirit that of the devil that has caused them maybe to talk and act the way they do. Maybe they say things against us. Maybe they say things about us or treat us in bad, different ways. It's not good. Whatever. Let's focus on the very cause of it. The enemy wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy that person as well. So we don't want to allow our mind to get, I'll say, fixated on the people that we consider as our enemies. Let's look at 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we want to make sure that we are looking at the enemy and realizing he's trying to destroy us. Sometimes people get hurt from different sources. Maybe somebody said something that destroyed their self-esteem or destroyed their, make other people look down on them, and they get hurt. But do you know that the enemy takes those hurts and destroys the very person that's been hurt? How he does that, he makes them bitter. He makes them say, I can't forgive. They did too much to me. I'll never forgive them. And he knows that if he can get you in a state of unforgiveness, that you have, he's trying to get your hope of ever going to heaven, because we must forgive. No matter what somebody do to us, we can't afford to hold them and not forgive them, because the Bible said, if we don't forgive others our transgression, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. We, no matter how difficult the circumstance, no matter how terrible somebody does to us, things to us, we must learn to forgive them anyway. Look at, well, it was them, they did it, but it really was the enemy. The enemy wants to get my soul in a place where I cannot go to heaven. Let's go to Revelation 12 and 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the devil. I think I gave you this before, didn't I? And Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Yes. So we don't, the devil is the great dragon. He's the one that is out to get us. I was thinking about a scripture in, it's Matthew 16, verse 21 and 23, where Peter said something that was contrary to what God had intended. He meant well. He loved Jesus, and he didn't want to see him die. Jesus was telling him he was going to die and be raised again on the third day. And he said, no, it's far from you. But look how Jesus responded to him. He recognized that although Peter loved him, it was really the enemy trying to get to him. Anybody have that scripture, Matthew 16:21-23.
Matthew 16, verse 21. Okay. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
You see what he did? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, Peter, you stop talking that. He recognized Satan speaking to Peter, even though Peter was his disciple and Peter loved him. But Peter was looking from a human standpoint. He didn't realize that what he was saying would have crossed the very plan of God and the very reason that Jesus came to the earth in the first place. So when somebody come up to you and they try to tell you, you should do this, and it's contrary to the will of God, You can look at that as the enemy trying to get me to do something contrary to God's will. I remember one time I was in seventh grade, and I had my friend, we have been friends ever since, I think, preschool. So we've been, you know, from class to class. Well, they were getting ready to have a party. And she said, come on, Doris, let me teach you how to dance. You're going to be the only one not dancing. Now, I could have just kind of went along with the program and you know, but it didn't. To me, that would have been wrong to do. And I did not agree with it. I didn't agree with it. I didn't do it. It's a no. It's a no-go. And that's where we need to realize that sometimes people mean well. They don't know any better. But if they tell you to do something contrary to God's word and his will and his way, you can count that as the enemy working through them to try to get to you. Now, I want us to look at various other ways that can be our enemy. You see, it is the devil working directly opposing God, but sometimes it can be like in the form, like I was saying, of a friend trying to get you to do wrong, or it can be your thoughts. Did you know that your mind and your thoughts can be your enemy? And you have to fight that. Thoughts come into your mind to tell you, to lead you astray, maybe even your attitude. Those are our enemies. And even our feelings of, like I say, bitterness and anger and all of those things can be our enemies, and we have to fight them. So it's not just other people. It can be things, it can be others. Like there's a scripture in Proverbs 1 and 10, let's get that. It can be others that try to get you to do wrong. But it can also be very things within us. Our own way of thinking about things, our own attitude toward life and toward people.
So Proverbs 1 and 10?
Yeah.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Sinners might entice you. They might tell you, let's do this, and let's do that, and it's okay to do this, and there's nothing wrong with it. People will reason out and say, it's okay, you know good and well it's not okay. But they can reason you out of doing what God wants you to do, and we need to resist it. There is a way. God gives us power over the enemy. He doesn't leave us in a state of helplessness where we can't do anything, but the devil will railroad us and we don't have to lay down and let him walk over us. One scripture in the Bible says, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts and different things like that. The devil knows that if he can get a thought in your mind, that it won't stay in your mind, but it go down into your heart if you meditate on those thoughts, and then it goes out into action. Some of the things that he brings to your mind and you realize it's the devil, you must resist it and not accept it, because if it goes into your heart, it becomes action. So the Bible says, out of the heart proceedeth these things, these different wrong things. So we want to fight this old devil that's out to get us. Some people have a very, very opinionated Have you ever been around somebody, they got everything have to go A, B, C, and D, and if it don't go A, B, C, and D in their way, it's the highway. It's my way or the highway. There are people like that. But that can be an enemy to that person as well, because it can keep God from getting in there and helping us to do the right thing. If we have our heart set that it's got to be a certain way, then God can't get truth. Sometimes he can't get truth to people because they are so opinionated. He might tell them, for instance, you need to forgive that person. I had an incident, and I won't mention the name, but this person could not forgive the other person. And I told them, I said, you know, if something would happen to them, you would be very sorry. You won't. And I gave them an example of someone that had held someone and held them. The person tried their best to try to reconcile with them. They wouldn't do it. And then they passed away. After they passed away, this person was very sorry, but it wasn't anything they could do. So the person I was speaking to and I was explaining to him about that, that thing happened just like I said. The person died. And after they died, they said, I should have forgiven them. So you see, we can have the Lord want to break down all these barriers, these things, these walls, these ways of thinking about people and feeling like they did me this way and I'm never going to forgive them and all these things. God wants to break those down because it's nothing but the enemy that's there to destroy both. Let's go to John 13, verses 3 through 10. We need to get rid of self. Self can be one of our enemies as well. Our own having things our way. John 13:3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hand and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and he would go with Simon again. Peter had a lot of ideas, and he meant well, but they were a hindrance to him. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know, sometimes you have children that you do something and they don't understand why you're doing it. And you try to explain to them, you may not understand it, but you will later on. And some of them are so headstrong that they won't listen. And here Peter, he explained to him that you don't know now, but you're going to know after. But that wasn't sufficient for Peter. He continued on with his way of thinking. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You see, he loved Jesus. He respected him. And he felt like, you're too, I should be washing your feet. you should not be washing my feet. But he didn't know that this was God's plan. And he should have been willing to accept it. None of the other, we have no account of any of the others balking and giving him trouble with this, but Peter. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. In other words, I'm not washing your feet because of the dirt. I'm not washing your, you know, you don't need anything but your feet washed, because this is a, he was establishing an ordinance. But Peter didn't get that. He didn't realize that. But then when he said, you have no part with me, he accepted it. But he should have been, he should have accepted it in the first place. People sometimes are so opinionated that God can't get truth to them. It's hard for him to get truth to them because they got their own way of thinking. We don't want to be that. Your way, my way, is not God's way. We must submit our way unto God's way. Ourself can be our biggest enemy. One person's the enemy and self has been on exhibition and caused much heartache. It's caused much pain. It's caused homes to be destroyed. It's caused relationships to be destroyed. It's caused families and even, I would say, even cities or kingdoms or different people in authority has fallen because of their own self. And I don't want to spend so much time reading it, but if we can remember Saul, how that Samuel gave Saul what God wants him to do, to go and destroy the Amalekites, everything, women, children, the king, everything. And Saul went there, and they didn't destroy it. They destroyed all the things that were refused, the things that weren't worth it, like the cattle that were no good and the animals that were no good. Those that were good, they saved them alive. They saved the king alive and all of this. Why? Self. My way. God had a plan. He had exactly what he wanted to do, but they wouldn't do it. And then when it came to the end of it, he tried to blame the people. He said, the people. But really it was him. He was the king. They couldn't do any more than he told. If he told them to destroy everything, they would have destroyed it. But no, it was him. But that self destroyed Saul. He lost his kingship. He lost his mind in the end. And he lost his life. Self will destroy us. And it is Satan behind it that makes us that to destroy us. So we don't want to let the devil have his way. We don't want to let him destroy us. And if we go according to God's will, God will make sure that the devil is destroyed and not us. He will not leave us to be destroyed by the enemy. He will destroy the enemy. But he does give us tools and things to fight the enemy with. We don't have to lay down, like I say, and let him run right over us, railroad right over us. That scripture in Nahum 2:1, if you'll get it again, it says, there's the second part, he that dashes in pieces cometh before thy face. But what does it say you can do? keep the munition. What is munition? It's the tools you have to fight with. It's like ammunition. It's like guns. Well, we're not using our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God gives us the power and the tool to fight the enemy with. Watch the way, it says, right? Did you find it?
Nahum 2:1.
Yeah, Nahum, yeah.
He that dashes in pieces has come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mighty.
Yes. So how can we do this? We won't need any more. We can keep the munition. We can watch the way. We need to be watchful. Fortify my powers mightily. We do that through Jesus Christ. He gives us the power and the authority over the enemy. And it says, what's the last one?
The last one is fortify thy power. Make thy loins strong.
And fortify them. Okay. So, how do we do that? I think it's Ephesians 6:10. Let's go to that. That scripture helps us to know how to, that we have the tools to fight the enemy with. We don't have to be destroyed by him. Even though he might have power, we have, through Jesus Christ, we have more power. He has no power with us. If we live for God, if we follow God, if we do his will, if we trust in him.
Ephesians 6:10. Mm-hmm. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto thee the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Okay, so you see, he's given us the tools to fight the devil with. And then it goes on and says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The word of God is truth. That's what we have to be girded about. We cannot fight the devil on our own, but if we live for God and obey his word and allow his word to be a part of who we are, we will be covered. And it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, when people went to battle, they didn't just go in regular clothes like we are today. They had all of this gear to protect themselves. So then the breastplate of righteousness, and it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and said, above all, take the shield of faith. So here you're all covered with the word of God and righteousness, but then you also have a shield to fight the devil with. When he bring, it says here, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. When the devil shoot darts at you, lift the shield of faith. That is how we're going to fight him. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, our head needs to be covered. And if we are saved, we are covered with the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you see, God loves us. He cares about us. But the enemy is not our friend. I tell the children sometimes, the devil is not your friend. We don't need to agree with him and allow him to take advantage of us. We don't have to, because we have the power of God backing us up. And God gives us everything we need to fight him. Pray for me.